Welcome to Chess Times, a Chess Gaja podcast. Your quick 10-minute dose of chess news, tournament highlights, and stories from the chess world, brought to you by Chess Gaja Academy. Whether you're a pro or a beginner, let's make your next move your best move. Let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome back to Chess Times. I'm here with GM Priyadarshan Kanapan. And honestly, Priyadarshan, I can't remember the last time chess news hit this hard. Right out of the gate, you ready to get into it?
Absolutely. I mean, this week, it's like you wake up and you see, boom, GM Kirill Shevchenko stripped of his grandmaster title. That's not something you expect to read with your morning coffee. Fidi dropping a 3-year ban for cheating with a smartphone during the Spanish team championship in October, right?
Yeah. This just set the bar for what zero tolerance means in chess now. No mincing words, your title's gone, your reputation's shaken, you're out of FIDE events basically until 2027. It's intense.
Yeah, and I gotta say, as a coach, as someone who's played internationally, this really, it resonates. Fair play isn't just a rule, right? It's part of how we build trust in this community. We run fair play sessions at Chess Gaja with parents and kids. You see how much even one story like this puts everyone on edge. But it also sort of toughens everyone's resolve to stay clean.
Totally. And you guys at the Academy were actually ahead of the curve there. I remember you talking in past episodes about like your strict mobile phone policies during in-person tournaments. This case has got people debating online, like, should FIDE be taking away the actual title, not just the rating points or prize money? What do you think, GM?
It's tough. Look, nobody wants their achievements erased. But if we don't act aggressively against cheating, what's the point of even awarding titles? This was a strong message, not only to Shevchenko or his team, but to anyone thinking about testing the rules. And cheating's not worth the risk. I hope, and moving forward, it's more about positive stories than scandals. But, I mean, we've seen in other sports, once trust is broken, and it takes ages to rebuild.
Amen to that. Let's just hope this forces productive conversations on fair play and less drama. But speaking of intense situations, it's not just off the board where sparks were flying this week. On the competitive side, I swear my heart still hasn't slowed down after the Cinquefield Cup finish. Wesley, so takes it, after that wild three-player blitz playoff, a cool $767, by the way, up against Pragnananda and Caruana. And what a way to do it. You catch that final classical game?
Yeah, So's win over Abdusatorov. He used a really risky line, I think, from Gawain Jones's opening ideas, right? That was gutsy. And, you know, Wesley, he's not usually the gambler at the table, but sometimes you gotta roll the dice. Plus, winning those speed tiebreaks, just clinical under pressure. Though poor Gukesh, reigning world champion and only 4 points this time. It just wasn't his event.
Yeah, Gukesh just couldn't get any momentum. And then, as if things weren't spicy enough, Noderbek Abdusatorov comes in right before the Grand Swiss and basically calls the guy out, like, I predict Gukesh will lose his world title. I mean, talk about psychological warfare.
Huh, yeah, that was bold. I don't know. Sometimes these comments are mind games, sometimes it's just confidence, but it definitely raises the heat. And speaking of drama, Caruana and Divya Deshmukh not playing the Grand Swiss, that surprised me, honestly. Candidates are already set for them, but their absence shakes things up for everyone else. It's a huge opportunity for the rest of the field.
Yeah, there are always the stories about surprise breakthroughs when the usual heavy hitters are missing. I was watching some pre-tournament interviews and you can just feel the tension. Other players are like, this is my moment. Did any game or strategy stand out to you this week among the folks who aren't necessarily favorites?
I mean, with Gukesh's form looking shaky and new faces getting a chance, anything can happen. I think the energy is different when suddenly the whole thing's wide open. people start taking more risks, pushing the envelope. You saw that with some of the younger players too. Like firing off bold sacrifices. It's exciting but unpredictable. Makes for great chess news. Let's put it that way.
For sure. And that unpredictability is kind of the perfect segue into our next chapter. Because if this week showed anything, it's that chess is in full youth movement mode. Okay, so speaking of youth, can we talk about 5-year-old Arini Lahoti for a sec? She just became the youngest female player ever to earn FIDE ratings in classical, rapid, and blitz. Like, she's 5. I was still getting grape juice on my chessboard at that age.
Yeah, I saw that. It's incredible. To get a rating at that age in all formats, that's not just about talent, but also family and coaching support. I mean, making history before most kids are reading fluently. That's wild. It says a lot about the youth movement all over the world right now. We had Bodhana Sivanandan getting talked about a few episodes ago. Now it's Arini. India is really producing a new wave, but globally, it's the same.
Totally. And not just in classical, Prana Venkatesh is on fire. He just took down the superstar section of the Fujairah Global Chess 2025, right before heading to the Grand Swiss. That's got to boost his confidence big time. He beat Shugarov and Tabatabai back to back, which, I mean, those names aren't easy outs.
Right. Pranav's timing couldn't be better heading into a major event. We say momentum is key before big tournaments, and he's got it. And then on the other end, speed chess is just exploding. The UK Blitz qualifiers are starting. The finals are in Leamington Spa, and everyone is hyped. Shreya's Royal is making news with some fantastic games in Hampton. He's leading the charge for UK chess, not just India diaspora. As we discussed before, he's really a symbol for the new generation here.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? My first Blitz tourney, I think I lost like every game in under 3 minutes. I was so stressed out I forgot En Passant even existed. But that's actually when I fell in love with chess, because Blitz sort of strips away all the overthinking and just forces you to play what you know. You're in the moment. I get why it's so popular, even at the highest level now.
Yeah, that's how it builds character. I make my students play Blitz to help with intuition and nerves. And it's become this accepted part of competitive chess. Honestly, if you want to prepare for modern events, you can't ignore the Rapid and Blitz formats. They're not just sideshows anymore.
Completely. It feels like every week there are more events, more new faces breaking onto the scene, more drama. But I think that's what keeps chess growing and fun for everyone watching too.
You said it. Whether it's 5-year-olds making history or Blitz specialists shaking up the rankings, this game still has so many surprises left. I'm excited just seeing where things go next.
Well, I think that's the best place to leave it, on a high note, after a week of drama and really cool breakthroughs. Priyadarshan, thanks for always bringing your pro insights and your great stories. And thanks to everyone listening out there for tuning in to Chess Times. We'll be back next week with more. So until then, take care and keep playing.
Thanks for having me. Bye, everyone. And don't forget to send us your questions or stories. You never know. You might hear them on a future episode. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Chess Times. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with fellow chess lovers. Until next time, keep playing and keep improving. See you soon.